I want to tell everybody listening here a dirty secret.
I think not enough people think about that, and I think it can really change everything for you.
If I had listened to this call and I was her competitor, I would immediately call this guy.
You'll win more by being too pushy than being not pushy enough.
That was a limp, dead fish close.
My takeaway from this, if I'm listening to this and trying to learn, is...
Cash call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis back again this week. Brian put on a fancy jacket. I put on a collar on my shirt just for you, just to shine it up a little bit, Brian.
We're taking it to the next level, apparently.
Absolutely killing it. So what do you got for us today? What form of amazing instruction do we have today?
Dale, I brought a pretty short call, and you know, we were talking about this in the green room, but ultimately, there's a lot of meat in here and a lot of opportunity potentially missed. And then there's also, it could be there was nothing there. What we've got to do every single time we have a call is make sure that we set ourselves up for success, because we don't know which one of those is going to work out and which one isn't going to work out. So I think the guy here missed some really good opportunities to work some things out and set himself up for success moving forward. And at the same time, he did some good stuff. So it's a pretty cool combination of, hey, we did this really well, but you just didn't take it to the next step, or the next level, I think is probably how I'd look at that. So let's play this call and see what this guy's got to say.
Yes, hi.
This is Brandon with Curtis Realty Group. My assistant just notified me you were interested in one of our properties, and I just wanted to see if you had any questions about that property or if you're just window shopping.
So I have a right script. And what I mean by that is, you know, the script that I wanted to use is basically, would you like to make an appointment or are you just window shopping? He asked, do you have any questions or are you just window shopping? To me, do you have any questions and are you just window shopping are kind of the same question. And we didn't give him any reason to go ahead and move forward and do something that we wanted him to do.
Did this come from an ISA or was it like an email that came in, or what's the, do you know the story?
Yeah, it's a PPC lead. When he said my assistant, his assistant basically said, hey, call this person. So we have a lead manager who basically says, call people if people aren't calling him. So that's exactly what happened there.
But she took some action or she just looked at a property?
No, she looked at a property. Yeah, it was a property inquiry. It was, in other words, she did inquire. Yeah. She completely inquired. Absolutely.
I think it's totally fine just to go with the, you know, like Zillow script, which is, hey, my assistant said you were interested in this property, wanted to reach out to you, see if you'd like to go see it in person. Are you free to go check it out? Well, whatever. I don't like asking if they have questions, because, you know, it's like a lot of times they're going to ask a question you don't know. And if I invite you to ask questions and then I don't know your answer, I run the risk of you thinking I'm stupid or incapable. Right. So I want to typically avoid that if I can.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. I used to use this was my script. Do you guys have any questions or would you like to go see the property? That used to be my script. And I don't teach that anymore, because to Dale's point, sometimes that question thing, it just throws people off. So give them, hey, do you guys want to go see the property? Or you guys just window shopping? And that works best for me. And I that's where I like to go. I know the Zillow script doesn't ask the window shopping, but you know, PPC leads are a little bit higher funnel.
Oh yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. There's usually nothing wrong with giving them an easy objection up front, especially when they're higher in the funnel. But I don't want to confuse that. So listen to some calls recently, and you know that I'm sure you've run across this before too, where a salesperson will give the objection to the prospect as they're going in the conversation, right? Oh, hey, Brian, listen, I'm sure you're probably not ready to buy right now, right? That is different than getting into a conversation where you anticipate that there might be an objection and you just give them the not yet or not now as an option. So I just want to make sure that we make that distinction for the people listening to this.
Yeah. And let me piggyback on what Dale said, because it's not necessarily in this call, but I see a lot of people, I'll call it objection scar tissue. So they start hearing the same objection over and over, and they start to make the assumption that everybody has that objection. So they might say something like, you know, I'm sure you're concerned about the interest rates. Well, now I am. So
right. Now that you mention it.
Yeah, I wasn't, but tell me why I should be, because clearly, you know, everybody else is. So just because the last five people you spoke to gave you the same objection doesn't mean the person is going to give it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm kind of both. I just put an offer in on a house, so I'm kind of waiting to see if that even happens. I gave him till 9 o'clock tonight.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you have an agent then already helping you look?
Yes. I mean, I'm not tied to anyone, but like whoever can bring me the best deal, that's the person I'm going to go with, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I was just curious if you're already in an agreement with another agent, so I didn't want to cross that line. But if you're not, then yeah, I'd be glad to help you.
She said, I'm not tied to anybody. Whoever can get me the best deal, I'll work with them. I'm thinking, I'm going to step way back. I want to be like, tell me how this works, right? So if I were to frame a question, it might be something like, oh, that's an interesting approach. How did you come to doing it that way? I'm just going to be way back. Like, tell me how this works, lady. You tell me how real estate works in your brain, right? Before I start doing anything.
I agree. Because again, when we presuppose that someone thinks like us, that doesn't go well. You know, here's a very simple question. Awesome. I appreciate that. I like a good deal too. With that in mind, what do you consider a good deal? Just so I can make sure I understand what's going on here. Find out what they're looking for. Oh, I want to get 20% off the asking price. I don't know. And honestly, you know, let's fast forward this to August 18th, right? August 17th being the day that things change in the MLS. When somebody says a good deal, that might mean something completely different 3 months from now than it means today, right? They might be, oh, I want an agent who's basically going to work for free for me or $500 or, yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's common. And, you know, we need to be able to learn how to deal with it.
It's common.
When it comes up. Yeah. So, you know, that's why, you know, I love that Dale pointed out, we got to figure out what this person means because it's so obscure. I want a good deal. Everybody wants a good deal. What the hell does that mean? So, you know, make sure that we're unpacking, asking extra questions, or otherwise we're just kind of hoping that we got it right.
Yeah. And not even just the deal part, but like, all right, so hold on. So your strategy is to sleep around with agents and that's going to result in the best deal for you. So how'd you get the idea to sleep around with agents? Like, that's what I want to know. That's not a script, everybody. We're not using that as scripting or objection handling, okay? I hope that doesn't end up in a soundbite.
Yeah.
I see your loose morals and I raise you an agreement. How about that? You know, and I appreciate the guy's instincts, but I'd want to unpack that just a wee bit.
To me, it was a weak follow-up.
Whoever can bring me the best deal, that's the person I'm going to go with, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I was just curious if you're already in an agreement with another agent, so I didn't want to cross that line. But if you're not, then yeah, I'd be glad to help you. If you're not finding what you're looking for, is it okay to follow up with you maybe tomorrow after you find out about your offer tonight?
So two things. One, I don't know that I want to work with this lady yet, right? And he's like, oh, I'll help you. I'll let you cheat on me too. That's great, right? And then he's like, he's ending the conversation essentially. He's like, oh, well, can I follow up with you after you find out about that offer? I want to stay in this conversation. I want to unpack you more. I want to figure out what's going on here. I want to see if we have any shot in hell of getting you to make commitment to somebody in return for a better result. You know, like, is that even possible? So he's using closing language like he's ending the conversation. And I can see that we're only halfway through the call. So it doesn't end. I wouldn't use closing language so early in the conversation when you're not done seeing if you can convert that sale.
I agree. So, you know, apparently she was going to find out about the offer that she submitted at 9 o'clock tonight, which probably isn't going to happen. Her agent's not calling her at 9 o'clock tonight. But, you know, so, hey, by the way, when would be a good time for me to follow up with you? I can either do it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. Which of those would work better for you? That is a close. But before I do that, out of curiosity, what are you looking for in a house? Or here's in this situation, I probably would have went for what you mentioned, a deal. What are you looking for in an agent? Like, what is the agent that, because again, it's so ambiguous. I want the agent that will give me the best deal. I don't even know what that means. And I'm not being a jerk about that. I literally don't know what that means. So we have to unpack that. And we have to make sure that, you know, I love Dale's ideas. I'm not even sure I want to work with this lady. And I'm on the same page. You know, I've stood in plenty of kitchens where people are like, we're just going to work with whatever agent. I'm like, great. It's never going to be me again. You know, I'll give you one for free. Well, I mean that, like, I can literally remember one very specific instance. The guy's like, we just don't do that. I'm like, no problem. I appreciate that. And I know I've used a couple objection handlers, tried to move forward, and they're like, nope, we're not going to do it. I'm like, great. Don't call me. I mean, I didn't say it that way, but I was like, yeah, if you guys need anything, call me, which they never do. But I was basically saying goodbye to them in a nice way.
Yeah. So where does this go now? Does he come back around and try to take another bite at the apple or what?
Not really. So, you know, I'll play the rest of it. There's not a ton left here, but yeah, let's just play the rest of it.
Let me check and make sure. Usually my system will populate your information. I just want to make sure contact number for you here. I'm sorry. It has not come through for me yet, but you said your first name. I apologize. Okay. And what's a good number for you? I'll just give you a holler tomorrow.
Area code.
All right. I will touch base with you tomorrow. Wish you luck on your current offer, but I'll check with you and see if there's any anything I can help with if it does not work out.
Okay. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I feel like that was a waste of time for both these people.
Yeah. We missed an opportunity in my mind.
I agree. And like, why have a sales conversation tomorrow that may not happen, that she may not answer, that you may not get, and will prevent you from a good one that you could potentially have tomorrow instead, when you could just flesh it out right now, right? Let's figure out if you're even one, somebody I want to bother with. And two, if I have a snowball's chance in hell of converting you to do anything with me, if that deal falls through, and I can do it right now and I can do it in a minute or two, right? So stay there and finish this call. Don't end the call. I don't care about your other offer. That other offer is already lost to me. That's lost business, right? I want to figure out, should I waste another 5 to 7 minutes of my time tomorrow calling you again? I can figure that out pretty much right now.
I agree. And it's just simply simple discovery, guys. It's not, and Dale doesn't have some magical questions that we've never shared before. What are you looking for? You know, what's your price point? Basically, what are you looking for in an agent? These basic questions that we ask every single time. And then that will flush out information. Like, does she rent, does she rent or does she own? We probably assumed that she was pre-qualified, but we never talked about a number. So maybe the offer that she wrote was $150,000 and she thinks she can buy a $500,000 house. We don't know. So yeah, the biggest problem here is lack of information. And so my takeaway from this, if I'm listening to this and trying to learn, is we've got to get as much information as we possibly can. And here's the good news. Granted, it's only a minute and a half phone call, but we were nowhere near, I'm done with you. And we, you know, as salespeople, sometimes we get to, I'm done with you. You've gotten there. I've gotten there. You push and you push and you push. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're done with you. We had a lot more opportunities before we were at I'm done with you here. And yeah,
there was no pushing.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to be pushy. And, you know, it's funny because I hear that all the time from agents. I don't want to be pushy. Well, here's the thing, guys. You'll win more by being too pushy than being not pushy enough. And again, I'm not saying be pushy, but if you're going to err on one side or another, err on the side of I'm going to take another shot, I'm going to ask another question versus, well, I don't want to piss them off. Well, great, because if you don't piss them off, the problem is you're never going to speak to them again anyway because you didn't give them any value.
Oh, listen, there's absolutely pushy salespeople that are annoying or only self-serving, and they're only doing it for their own gain or their own ends, and they don't care about how you feel or what you want. There are those salespeople.
Makes sense, sure.
Then there are those salespeople. Have you ever heard of Jehovah's Witnesses?
I've sold houses to them.
They're the best salespeople in the world. Do you know why they're the best salespeople in the world?
No, but tell me.
Because they are 100% convinced that if they don't save you by getting you to believe what they believe, that they somehow are failing or are they are responsible for you, right? So they are very convinced that what they're doing is right and important and necessary. Yep. And to them, they're not being pushy. So that might be a bad example. I'm not saying become a Jehovah's Witness. My point is that if you believe deeply that what you provide is necessary and valuable and that people need your help and will benefit from your help, it will encourage you and give you the power to stay there and push a little bit more, even if it doesn't feel super great, right? But
yeah,
the people that get stuck with that I don't want to push thing, they oftentimes are just afraid about, they don't feel convinced that they have good value and that they should be helping people and that they can really make an impact for somebody. I'd say if anybody's listening to this, take a look at that inside of you. If you're like, I don't want to be pushy, is it really about being pushy or is it really because you don't believe enough in what you're doing or what you offer?
Actually, it's funny as you brought that up. It reminds me of my mentality the last probably 24 months that I was going on listing appointments. So I had the exact same mentality that Dale had, except let me ask you a question, Dale. Have you ever met any crappy agents?
You ever met? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Here was my thought. This was literally the mindset that I would go into a listing appointment with. If I do not show enough value for this person to work with me, they're going to end up with one of those crappy agents and it's a complete disservice to this person. And that was my mindset. And I was like, I have to help these people or they're going to get Bob, and Bob's horrible, you know? And I'm not even saying there was another appointment behind me, but that mindset, I believe, helped me significantly increase my my conversion rate, because I was like, I have to help these people or they're going to end up with Bob, and Bob sucks, you know? And so, sorry, Bob.
Yeah, you know, doing a lot of, having worked a lot of for sale by owners and expireds, I realized I used to take offense to the fact that they were resistant to me and they didn't want to work with me and they didn't want to talk to me. And what I finally came to realize, and this is the thing that carried me through, I know that I'm awesome. I know I do an amazing job. You just don't know it yet, right? That's the kind of internal confidence that I had to build for myself and just realize, okay, of course they don't believe you, Dale. Of course they don't trust you, Dale, because they don't know who the hell you are. You haven't demonstrated it for them yet. So that's like an extreme example where you have to fight through it to be able to then see them turn and shift and be thanking you and introduce you to other people and stuff like that. It can be tough, you know, but it's a kind of a muscle that you have to build.
I think that's good information. I think not enough people think about that. And I think it can really change everything for you if you go in with the attitude is I've got to help this person.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. That kind of thought helps when you're sitting there waiting for somebody to answer the phone, right? And you've been sitting there with the dialer running for the last, you know, 10 minutes and nobody's answered. I used to have a mantra that I would tell myself and I would just repeat it. I would focus on it almost like meditation. And I would say to myself, this next person needs my help. This next person needs my help. This next person needs my help. It did a couple of things. It kept me focusing on that instead of being upset that I wasn't getting any contacts. And it also helped me keep an elevated mood and sort of a forward lean to my emotions while I waited for that answer to come through.
Yeah. And it's so important because, you know, if you're a person who's out there dialing for dollars, congratulations, we need more of you. And it can be devastating at times. It can just kick your butt. So yeah, keeping that positive attitude. I love that. I would also have a positive frame, same idea. It's like, this person's going to be excited to help, to talk to me because I'm about to help solve their problem, whether they know they have a problem or not. And, you know, when you have that positive attitude, when you hold that in your mindset, it changes the way you communicate. And I don't know that enough people understand that. It literally, the thoughts that you're holding in your mind change the way that you communicate. And there are certain things that you cannot change that you think you can. Like if you think that if you don't like somebody and you go talk to them, there's a good chance that they know, even if you hide it, right? Same thing when you're talking to a lead. If you don't have a positive idea about what they're going to do, there's a real good chance they're going to pick up on it. They might not even know why. They're just like, I just don't like this guy. So yeah, mindset's huge.
Huge. All right. So I feel like we got a lost opportunity here. I'm going to play it from the beginning, but I'll do it on 1.25. So this is a follow-up to an open house. So listen to how this goes. And I'm going to, the agent here tried to close for an action, right? Tried to close for a meeting, but it was super weak. So let's hear how that goes. And the reason I want to highlight this is because I'm pretty confident that this agent in her mind is like, oh, I did the best that I could. And they just didn't want to meet with me. But then when you go back and you listen to the way that she attempted to ask for an appointment, it's so incredibly weak that it almost wasn't even an ask, right?
Wow.
Okay. And I guarantee this agent has no idea that she lost a real opportunity here.
Hello?
Hi, it's Nicolette with Amy Rotano Group. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. We met yesterday at the open house. I did see messaging. I just wanted to reach out. We know you're not looking for a home currently at this time. So yeah. I just wanted to see if really you had any feedback on the property or if it's okay if we continue to maybe keep in touch in regards to if you see something that you find and are interested in.
I like almost everything she did where she said, we know that you're not looking to buy now, presumably because they had some form of interaction at that open house because he acknowledged it. So I like that she's referencing what they already did and that it's a, I know that you're not doing anything now, right? So she's reducing the risk of threat of salesperson. And then she asks, but could I get feedback? That's great. Stop there. Don't make two asks, right? Just go with the feedback because the second ask is the harder one, which is, can I randomly follow up with you as a strange salesperson, which most people don't like. What do you think, Brian?
So a couple of things. It sounds like they've had some good interaction in the past, to your point. They've met at an open house. She referenced the fact that, you know, she's being respectful of his model that he's not going to buy in for a certain period of time. if you're going to follow up with somebody, don't ask. And I know that sounds weird, but I just tell them, hey, Dale, you know, it's been a great conversation that we've had today. I really appreciate getting to know you. And it feels like, well, you know, we could be a good fit. And so all I'm going to do is the same thing I do with every other one of my clients is I'm just going to follow up once a month. And if you guys, that way, if you guys have any questions, because a lot of times people things change. So anyway, I'll talk to you next month. I hope you have a great day. That's a close at the end, by the way. So I wouldn't be doing it 30 seconds into a call, but don't ask, because watch this, Dale, can I follow up with you?
No, I'll call you.
I'm done. And by the way, my way is a little bit more aggressive. It's a little pushy. We talked about pushy earlier, but it's not that pushy. I'm just going to follow up with you. You don't have to answer my call. I mean, ideally I want you to, but yeah, you're not getting a no.
And like Brian said, and I said, do not do it at the beginning of the damn call, right? Because we're not done with the call yet. All right, so let's go on and see what she does here.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to share listings, I'll take a look, but we're not in the process. We're not trying to, you know, move anytime soon. That's not the plan, right? It's just keeping our eye open to see what's available on the market and stuff, because obviously we'd have to sell this property. But at the same time, I thought the property was nice. I mean, it's definitely been done up really beautifully. A little bit on the overpriced side, in my opinion. And I mean, it really depends on how much our house is valued at itself. But I think it's, I know the Beagle Club's pricier than the outside of the Beagle Club. So I figured that kind of, factors into it. But yeah, at the same time, I thought, you know, if I had to take a wild guess, I would have given that house maybe $750,000 list.
Okay, now we heard a couple things, right? You reiterated we're not moving real soon. We would need to sell this house, which is key. And then he alluded to the fact that he doesn't really know what exactly his house is worth or what some of the other houses are worth. And he's taking a guess. Like, this is a beautiful prime opportunity right here.
Right. Now, I agree. I don't know what happened, but I'm like, I'm chomping at the bit as the agent, to be honest.
Here, I'm unfortunately going to play it for you.
Off the top of my head, I would have never assumed it was going to be over 800.
But, yeah.
Especially with there being no backyard. The plot is pretty small. It's crowded between all these homes. So.
Okay. That's good feedback. We really, truly appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Obviously, I'm no realtor. I'm sure people put a lot of work into the numbers. So, I'm just speaking from my own experience of what I've seen here. So that's it.
Awesome. We appreciate that. And you're located in Colony, right? Right off of...
I'm
awesome. Okay. Good to know.
Here it comes.
Good to know. Well, we appreciate you coming by. And if at any time you want us to give you a value on your current home, we're more than willing and more than happy to do that. Amy, and she also works alongside with her husband, Charles, are great experts in knowing market, and we love to help you anyway again.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, dude. Like, that was, when somebody shakes your hand and they give you the dead fish, the limp dead fish. That was a limp dead fish close. If at any time you'd like us to give you a value or an idea of what your home is worth, let us know, essentially. It was
call
so
me, please.
Yeah, it was like, what do they call that, Brian? What's that called when it's just super weak? Or vaguely implied.
Inferred. It's so bad. I don't want to talk about it. I don't even know, but you don't want to do that.
Right.
I'd rather ask a question that has a no answer to it than just kind of float something and beg.
Let's be fair to this agent. At least she has the right instinct, which is this is the next logical step. You don't really know what your house is worth exactly. You would need to sell it. It's out in the future. Let me at least take the next step of helping you get more information about the value of your home. Good instincts. The way it was delivered was so passive and so weak that it was a waste. It was a throwaway. Like, to the point that if I had listened to this call and I was her competitor, I would immediately call this guy and have a conversation with him. This is kind of the difference. When we talk about not being pushy versus pushy, she's really pleasant and, she can give this guy information that he could use and would probably value, but she needs to have a better skill around presenting that idea to him and then asking him to take action on it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're scared, you can wuss out like this. Hey guys, we have two types of different values I can give you. I can give you a value based on me actually coming and seeing your house and getting a really solid number based on upgrades and changes and just getting to really know your house. That's going to give you the most accurate value. If you want just an approximation, I can put together what's called a CMA, and I can actually email that over to you, follow up with you and discuss it with you so you can understand why I came up with the different numbers I do. Which of those would work better for you? So you can do that. I wouldn't, but if you're afraid to get a no, then you use an either or. But I would just say, Bob, you know, hey, by the way, it feels like you're going to move sometime. I don't know when. You've already told me you don't know when. I want to respect that. And it also feels like you might not have all the information on the market. So I'd be willing to just have one of our agents come over, take a look at your house, give you an idea. It'll take about 30 minutes of your time. And that way you'll have an exact piece of information so that you can figure out how to make the best decision for you and your family. I've got time on Tuesday or Wednesday. Which of those days works better for you? Those are the two approaches that I would take. I would lean on the latter because I want to get the appointment. Because if they say no to that, I can still go back to the CMA and follow up with a telephone call.
All that's great. Brian, I think in this case, I would put it a little, if it were me, I'd make it a little more contextual. So that might sound something like, yeah, Brian, it's crazy what the values are up to these days. So I'm getting the sense that you haven't had an agent come and look at your house to nail down a current value for your property. Is that correct? And you're going to say yes, right? I haven't or whatever. And I'd say, oh God, okay, well, you know, I'm in the neighborhood all the time. And in fact, I'll be there this week. Can I stop by either Wednesday evening, like after work, or maybe Saturday morning? Just take a quick tour through your home and let you know exactly how you compare to your other neighbors out there so that when you guys are looking at properties, you have a better idea of what's the real value and what actually is overpriced. Which of those days would work better for you? So I'm making it super, super duper contextual based on what this conversation is to make it sound like it's easy, painless. Oh, and I can better have an understanding of what I'm looking at, me, the consumer, when I'm out there looking around at properties. I think that's a good shot at getting that done.
I do too. And, you know, you did a really good job referencing the point. And it was funny. You did a better job than me because I couldn't figure out how to tell him politely he didn't know what the value of his house was. That's why. Because that's what I was getting from that call was that he didn't understand values. Now, again, I don't know because I don't know values in this market. But what I heard was he's wrong about the value of his own house and the value of the house that he went and inquired about, looked at, whatever the case may be. We need to educate them, but obviously you don't want to tell someone, look man, you're stupid, you don't know what your house is worth, so you got to do it in a little more subtle way. I love where you went, and it's getting them to do that.
I want to tell everybody listening here a dirty secret. Both my wife and I are real estate agents, and we almost never agree on the value of our own house.
Nice.
We're never like, you get two professionals that live in this house, we almost never agree on the value. So if two professionals don't agree on the value of their own house, then how clear do you think these consumers are about the value of their house? They're not.
And I'll even add to this. So I've got a subdivision of duplexes that are identical. Every single duplex is exactly the same. Exact same floor plan, built the same year, the same, right? We keep getting different appraisals on. I want you to think about that.
Appraisers don't know about the value of property, unfortunately.
There is that. My point is, though, if an appraiser can't get it right, if two real estate agents can't get it right, what's the chance that Bob here is going to get this right? It's going to be almost no shot. And so the ability to get in front of Bob is what the goal is. And if once you do that, they might not move for 6 months to a year. But I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being out of the business then. So it's building your pipeline.
I feel like I have to do a bit of a rant. Here's why appraisers don't know shit about the value of property. Because appraisers have to look at the work that real estate agents did 30 to 60 to 90 days ago, in some cases 6 months ago, for them to make their own educated guess about what the real estate market is doing. And half the agents don't know shit about home values either. So they are working on outdated information. And the faster a market moves, the less the appraisers actually know, because they're looking at dinosaur bones when the market's moving fast up or down. They don't know shit, right? They're just making it up. I was a hardcore listing agent, 5 and 6 listings a month, and half the time I was taking my best educated guess.
It's funny. For a while, I was very impressed with agents who were so confident about the value they came up with, and then I realized that they were just making it up like I was. And I was just willing to admit it. It was the only difference. And you know, in a cookie-cutter subdivision, I can give right. you what the value's worth. Any idiot can do that. That is not a skill set. You just go, look, they sell for $237 a square foot in this neighborhood, and that's fine. But when you start adding swimming pools and acreage and, you know, all the things that come with it, that's when it takes a skill set that, you know, people they need to work on.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I'm in the Northeast region, and there's a ton of places that span from like the early 1900s, even the 1700s, like some of right. our properties were built back then, you know what I mean? Up to now. And there aren't, in a lot of cases here, there aren't massive swaths of subdivisions that were all built the same materials and all of that cookie cutter stuff. When you enter a market like that, like you have to really understand what's going on and how to value stuff. And some of it's just guesswork.
You know, I used to do back BPOs back in the day. You do BPOs, you can't just give them a value. You have to show why you made the adjustments that you made. How much is the swimming pool worth? How much is the house that was built in 1900 worth versus the house built in 1950? What about the wiring? I mean, there's so many things. To Dale's point, that's where our true expertise comes in.
You know, you said that you used to be so envious of the agents who were confident about a number. I figured out real fast that when I was confident about a number, it, one, made it really difficult to go get price reductions from my clients, and it made it difficult for me to get them to accept offers that weren't at the number that we chose, because I was so, if you reinforce those numbers, it works against you and against your client in so many ways. And so instead, I switched to was, hey, listen, this is our best educated guess. You don't know what your house is worth. I don't know what your house is worth. Appraisers don't know what your house is worth. The only person who knows what your house is worth are the buyers who are out there looking at every single one of them and deciding which one they want to put their money on. Those are the people who decide how much your house is worth, right? Doing that, shifting that, like, makes price reductions easier, makes your negotiations easier. It makes it easier to get your clients to accept an offer on their property, even if it's not exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, and I want you guys to think about this, because there's plenty of people out there right now who've been a real estate agent for 5 years. Normally, I'm saying it's a real estate agent who's been real estate agent for 5 years. Boy, they've got a ton of experience. But the problem is the market has changed 3 times in the last 5 years. And if you take any data from about June of 20 through about February of 23, it's bad data. It doesn't reflect anything that we were doing back then. And I think there's a lot of people who are probably struggling, not understanding. This is the verbiage that I used to use. Guys, this is the value based on the comparable properties. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the market will determine your value. What I mean by that is the people who are going to come and look at your house, they have the money. They're the people who are going to tell us what the house is worth. So, you know, I can give you an appraised value all day long, but you don't want an appraised value. You want a market value so you can sell your house. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. And then I would set them up and say, look, if we're listed too high, this is what happened. And if we're listed too low, didn't say that very often, this is what's going to happen. But if you're listed too low, you're going to get multiple offers, and it's just fine. But my point is you need to set yourself up. The house is worth $500,000. Brian, why do I keep getting offers for $475,000? Because I'm bad at my job. I mean, what else do you say, right? And so you have to tell them based on the comparables, and the market's going to lead us.
Absolutely. That's great stuff. All right, everybody. That's all you get of us today. You can have more, but not this week. So thanks for joining us. Cash Call, Brian Curtis, Dale Arstegut signing up.
Thanks, everybody.
Well, that was a great episode. If you like that and you want more, check out the free training that I have here. Click on the link. It is how to convert any lead in 4 simple steps. It's going to walk you through the 4 key steps you need to be able to convert any lead source that you're talking to. It's going to help you immensely. See you next time.